Hey, thanks for dropping by. Come on in.
Time to retire to the drawing room.
Is New Age still new? How long? I mean, it's been around for... When I was growing up, I was a kid at primary school, people were talking about New Age stuff, like clothes and hair and music and... Well, probably dance. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to that part of it. The point is, it seems to have been around forever. And it kind of still is. It seems to be this genre. I'm sure if you look it up in iTunes or something, you'll find, like, heaps of stuff. And I'm not entirely sure what it means. I think it's something to do with things that are kind of ambient and mood setting or mood altering, perhaps, rather than something that is to be kind of listened to in a really focused, concentrated sort of way. But really, I'm just guessing. And so I've got a couple of people in the drawing room who do this stuff, and they can help me out and they can stop me guessing. Dr. Robert Vince joins me, senior lecturer in music at the Victorian College of the Arts, along with Leo Dale, who's just released, it says here it's a one-track album, it's really two, but you get the idea. It's almost Jethro Tullish in its one-trackedness. It's an album called From Now Om. See what they did there? Gents, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Hello.
Can we clarify this New Age thing?
I can't clarify it, other than to say it used to be Wales, but now it could be anything.
Wales were the starting point.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I guess more officially, it's sort of started back with the emergence of the Theosophical School with Madame Blavatsky, Rudolf Steiner, gets rediscovered, I guess, in the 50s. 60s, 70s with technology and really good digital reverb starts becoming into ambient music. I guess there's, you know, a wide genre covered from, you know, Wales, as Leo says, but also to things like mimetic frequencies, whether they're healing frequencies or whether they're just looking at the way the stars work and just trying to figure out different frequencies from those.
So what's a mimetic frequency?
The Earth resonates, for instance, at 136.102 hertz, which is a slightly flat D flat. When you listen to it, it just gives you this great feeling in your stomach.
Really?
So it's a really nice frequency to meditate to. And it's one of those things that's 26 octaves above the sound of the world going around the sun in a year, or the frequency of the world going around the sun in a year. So when you're meditating, you put that on, it's just a really good feeling.
I really wish we had a slightly flat piano. Play it.
Strangely enough, well, I've got some on tape, but...
Oh, do we have it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, actually, we've got the sound of the whole universe going in just in its relationship. So it's
Rob, I've got a question for you, because I read somewhere that the universe is in B flat. Is that right? I'm sure you would know. You seem very erudite about these things.
Well, no, I'd go D flat. D flat, like a Baroque D flat.
Okay.
Which is also the key of death in some operas. So, but, you know, a good D-flat, a flat D-flat will give you that sense of connection. And you often find Indian musicians will use that as their sar, their tonic
note. Like the drone.
The drone note. So you find that a lot. It's a frequency that really connects in.
I've got to hear this. What should we play to hear?
What's a track? I just got a couple of minutes, just called Universe.
All right. So Universe is the... this is the sound of the universe. This is...
N equal frequencies.
The universe is in this key, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're playing at home, you won't get it right because your piano will be... But you could do it on a guitar.
Yeah.
You could very easily find it on a guitar.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Sorry, I just had to wake up. It is quite calming.
It's very calming.
But it
makes me feel like I'm on Voyager and I've just left the I've just gone through the heliopause and I'm leaving the solar system, heading out into the universe. That's what I feel like when I hear it.
Now you know there's a reason that you feel that. It's not just random.
Exactly. Yep.
But there's more than one pitch there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we've got Pluto in there. We've got...
have Pluto. What's Pluto's frequency?
You know, I can't remember offhand, but I've got a little, you know, somebody's done the math on all of this, and you just assign a sine wave to each of those frequencies, and Bob's your uncle.
So a sine wave, it just sounds like that beep, doesn't it, on its own?
Sine wave is just a really pure tone. It's just a really, like, you get your guitar tuner out and you hit that. So there's Neptune, Saturn. So there's about nine different frequencies. What you'll notice is that there's slight beating.
Because they're different frequencies.
They're different frequencies. Link the breathing into that, and you're finding a really nice space for yourself after a while. So I guess one of the things about New Age music is just finding a peace, finding a calm, and just relaxing into sort of a feeling of connection.
God, it's not rock and roll. It's like a million miles away from that.
Yeah, I guess. It just gives you a different experience. So rock and roll has some transcendent things in it too. You know, you go to rock and roll to get out of it.
Yeah.
This is a different type of getting out of it. It's the same but different.
I see what you're saying. So, Leo, are you all like way scientific, like Rob is here?
No, I don't think I am so much. This is like a shocking word, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm a bit more experiential, you know, which is like, that's a real 1980s word, isn't it? I know straight away. No, since I've said it, I've gone, why did I say that? But I come from a background of being a jazz musician, but also I've practiced yoga since the 70s. I've tried to put the two together in a way that didn't sort of, wasn't on the nose. So that was...
What made it on the nose for you?
It's easy to do things that are a little bit half-baked. So I wanted to do something that seemed authentic to my experience of meditating and practicing yoga, but also something that was maybe a bit original. You know, I wasn't trying to recreate what other people are doing. So let me explain what I have done.
Yeah, go on. This is from now on.
There's an instrument in Indian classical music called a tambura, which is like a drone instrument. Typically has four strings. They resonate with each other.
Yep.
What I've done is I've created an album that has a cello playing a low F, and then on top of that I've stacked six ohms in something called the harmonic series, which is a bit scientific.
Yeah.
If you think of in the primary school playground, you've got a skipping rope, and when you spin it around, it makes one big loop.
Yeah.
But if you put a little bit more energy into it, you remember from being a kid, you can get two loops going.
Yeah.
That's the first harmonic, and that's one octave up from the bottom note. So I've got an om, and then I've got another one, an octave above that, and so on and so forth, so that if you put more energy into it, you can get three loops, and that's an octave and a fifth, two octaves and a third, two octaves and a fifth. So I'm singing
all... It makes a major chord, just spread out over octaves.
It does make a major chord, yeah, that's exactly right. So that's just like a drone, basically. So instead of making it out of strings, it's made out of voices. It's made out of my voice singing.
That's the omi bit.
That's the omi bit.
But there's two tracks on your album. The first kind of has an alto saxophone just kind of doing some stuff over the top.
Sure.
Did you conceptualise what that stuff would be? Or was it more just free? You just got a sax player.
The publicist said, you've got to put a track on for radio.
Is
that it? I went, oh, yeah, what was I thinking? I'm an idiot, you know. So
really? That was the story?
Yeah, it was just, I just thought, I was so purist about it. I thought, I'm going to have one track and it's just 40 minutes and you put it on. You put it on in the car. You put it on when you want to chill out at home, when you want to meditate. But she said, no, you need something for that. And then I thought, I'm a saxophone player. Why don't I just put some sax on it?
It's a very well-played saxophone, by the way.
Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much.
Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
A very close mic'd, I noticed, the way it was played.
Yeah.
You could hear all of the tonguing, you could hear the fingering, you could hear all of that.
I can hear the 40-degree day that I recorded it on.
That'll be just that's relaxing.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, you're on radio. So we better play a bit of the radio thing, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
Is that what we should do? So this is alto sax meditation, but the album really is kind of this without the saxophone.
Yeah, that's the second track.
Yeah. All right, let's hear it. So that is Leo Dale's sort of radio sellout edition version of the track that makes up
Thanks
his...
Thanks for that.
Well, that's the story that you've told pretty much, isn't it? It's the one with the catchy hook and the melody and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. How could you forget it?
Yeah, yeah.
Baker Street. For meditators.
Yeah, actually, what happens if you give it to meditators? They go, look, you're just destroying the mood, man.
No, they like it. They like it.
So how do you actually... But it raises an interesting question. How busy can you make this stuff? Because that sax is quite busy in a way. At what point do you pile things on and you're ruining the whole point of the exercise?
That's a good question. I reckon that part of the problem, well, it's not a problem, but the difference is what people perceive. Some people like really open ambience, and some people like it busy. Like, I really dig what Leo's done there, because it just feels like it's got like texture and depth in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get into like really plain sounds that are just, for me, just a bit sugary. Everyone's a bit different, but I really like the timbral qualities and the thickness. So it's probably just an individual taste. Some of the stuff I do is sort of experimental, but it comes from meditative space. I don't know that people would necessarily experience it as being, you know, ambient or whatever. And maybe it's even hard to listen to, but it comes from that space of just, you know what it's like when you're just playing.
Mm. Can you do dissonance?
Oh, absolutely. For me, it's like if you get a jam donut, you get a bit of custard on that, you get a bit of sugar on that, there comes a point where it's a bit too sweet.
Yeah.
You put a bit of chili sauce on it and it's just nice. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I've got to get into your creative workshops.
I want to go to that donut store.
That sounds amazing.
Can't go without chili sauce.
So that's what they do at the VCA, where Dr. Rob Vince is senior lecturer in music. He's also a New Age musician. Leo Dale is also a New Age musician and has an album out called From Now On. And we've just heard the single version of that, which has an alto saxophone having some fun over the top of it. You are in the drawing room. I want to get back to this memetic frequencies thing. So you spoke about the universe. You spoke about Pluto, I think.
Yep.
What's the Earth's?
Well, the Earth is about 136.102 hertz, but everything has a sort of a point of view of resonance or frequency, whether it's a resonant frequency or it's just in a relationship with something else, a periodic relationship.
Yeah.
Even DNA, the four amino acids have different relationships and they're all around a B. So when you hear them together, it just gives you this really wild feeling through the body. I just couldn't bring that in because I forgot to.
So if I could map your DNA, I could play your DNA.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I could say, this is what you sound like. Bang.
Yeah. And, you know, scientists out there might sort of be a bit worried about that, but a lot of this stuff just comes from scientific papers and you work out the different resonant frequencies of amino acids or whatever. It's not that hard to do when there's, you know, we've got enough technology around to sort of try and map out those things. Keyboards these days have ways of bending sounds around. Whilst a lot of Western music is in the sort of the language of the piano or equal temperament, there's a whole array of music and experiences outside of that, whether it be, say, the resonant frequency of the heart, or just there's a lot of great Indian music and Pakistani music where there's just different resonances, different frequencies, and they lead you into different areas of experience.
But it sounds like all of the resonant frequencies we've spoken about so far are actually not bang on the note as we construct them in Western music.
Absolutely.
So is our entire musical civilization completely out of tune with the universe and the way that we should be behaving?
It's becoming more and more out of tune. There's a really cool thing, people probably seen it on the net. It's called cymatics. And you'll notice that if you put sand on like rice paper and you get a frequency generator, there are certain frequencies which produce the rice into amazing patterns, the most beautiful things you've ever seen.
Through the vibrations of the frequency.
Through the vibrations of the rice paper. And you sort of think, well, wow, if that's sort of happening, there must be something there. But it's just no one seems to be into cymatics. But I encourage your listeners to just check it out on the web.
This is extraordinary. So you've done things with the heart,
yep,
the solar plexus. So you just look these up in scientific papers or something and then...
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you sit there with a sine tone generator yourself and say, well, where do I feel that in my body? And then you retune your synthesizers or whatever to try and work around the those sort of resonant points.
Yeah, right. So it's part experiential, Leo.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's experiences.
I'm wondering in this conversation that we're talking so much about using technology to chill out, but one of the problems is technology. That's one of the reasons why we need to chill out. So, you know,
that's a good point.
It is, isn't it? Because, I mean, really, we're frying our brains. We're addicted to frying our brains with phones and stuff, but we're looking at ways of using technology as an antidote to that. Is that right, Rob?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the great thing is that you can get right down deep into a sound wave now. You can pull it apart to just being plain old sine waves, or as you do in your saxophone, you can, you know, really expand it out. So we have a lot of things that we can do with instruments, whether they be digital or analog, but in the West, we're really addicted to sort of piano tuning. And if we can take the piano out of the equation, then all sorts of possibilities open up, not only for New Age music, but experimental music and just experience, you know. I mean, it'd be really interesting to see what a rock band would sound like in Pythagorean tuning. So that's the job for you.
Great. I'm going to that concert. I want a ticket.
That would be incredible. But it requires us to retune our ears. Because I know, I mean, we've spoken, for example, about Eastern music. And in Eastern music, they very commonly will use quarter tones. So yeah, these are notes absolutely. That sit pretty much halfway between two notes that we would recognise. So between F and F sharp, there's a note.
Absolutely.
But when you hear it in Eastern music, so the Western ear, it just sounds out of tune. So how long would it take for this actually to be something that we could explore in a way that we'd be able to listen to it?
Well, in the West, it's a gross thing that we do when we listen to music. Our brain can decipher over 1,440 separate pitches, but we only ever use 88 of the keyboard. Mm. So you're
and really, it's
right.
just 12 different pitches with octaves.
12 different pitches with octaves, so just repeat it. So it's a big problem, and, you know, that's why it can be hard to get into other musics and other experiences from music, because we go, oh, that sounds a bit sharp, or that's a bit flat, or whatever. But, wow, when you really just listen to it, it just opens up new worlds.
So, Leo, was there a point at which New Age music just grated, and then you kind of had to learn how to listen to it?
Yeah, it was in the when I was getting a massage, the music they play when you're getting a massage and or any sort of natural therapies, the first thing I do is I go, look, I hope you don't mind, but can you just turn the music off?
Wow.
But like being a musician, you're aware of music all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of people just sort of tune out to it. Like I go to a film and I'm so aware of the soundtrack. But yeah, look, I think it was a massage when I was getting a massage.
That's the point.
I just go, no, forget it. I got to turn that off. It's driving me nuts.
Oh,
it's not relaxing.
No. Well, yes. And that, well, until you can see, this is now we've learned the problem's you. If you just learn to listen to it, it becomes relaxing. That's the theory. That's where I think we ended up. Should we go with a solar plexus or a heart? What would be the better way to?
I'd go
out, do you think?
With the heart, just because the tuning's a bit different. It's not Western tuning at all.
Really?
So it's just related to the resonant frequencies of, well, I guess my heart. I don't know if everyone
I was going to say, because it would be different for different hearts because they're different sizes and all sorts of things.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how did you figure out the resonant frequency of a heart?
You just sit there with a sine wave generator until you feel it buzzing and you go, whoa, that's it.
So this music makes Rob feel great. It might make you feel terrible. If so, it's because you got the wrong heart.
Can I mention one thing?
You can.
Before we go?
Yeah, sure.
I just wanted to mention my website.
Yes.
Because some of the listeners might be interested to go and check out some of my videos, because there is a video that a lot of people love. I shot of bees flying in slow motion to the sound of the om, and that's fromnowom.com.
Great. Om being O-M.
O-M.
And it's because it's an internet address, it doesn't even need to be capitalised.
You got it.
Which it is on the album. From Now On is Leo Dale's album. Rob Vince will have an album out within the next 3 months, and it's called?
Terrestrial.
But we don't know exactly when it's out, because I gather it's not quite done yet, is that there?
It's just mastering at the moment.
Oh, mastering. Oh, that's easy. It could be out next week. But it will come out in the next 3 months, and now he's promised it on radio, so it must happen. Thanks for coming in, gents.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wally.
All right, this is what Rob's heart sounds like. I'll see you tomorrow at 6:00.